Our dear Heavenly Father, we come by blood of Jesus. I come to your presence by blood of Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, confessing my sins, receiving a cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I come with you, with your heart and your reverence as I stand before your people to share your word. Father, as I come to share your word, I ask for mercy. The word says that it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. The Lord, you will find me faithful by your mercy, Lord, to dispense your word. Under the unction of the set fathers over this house, I pray, Father, for that same grace upon them, that same grace to rest upon me. I talk under their covering, Lord, and I speak forth, I will speak as an oracle of God. I want to comfort in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to cause jokes in our life to be broken. And Lord, as we hear your word this day, you cause through this word, our wills to become more humble, and minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of fruit of the Holy Spirit. That Lord, as I preach, Lord, help me to be conscious and to be precise. Lord, make my tongue like the pen of a writer. Help me to redeem it and sing only what you permit. Thank you, Father, for that you do in our midst this evening. We give you praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God so much for this privilege to stand before you to share once again. Share today is titled, Show Us Your Glory. Let us say together, Show Us Your Glory. Let's say together like we believe it, Show Us Your Glory. Praise the Lord. It's very important in this day for us to have a desire for the glory of God. As been singing just now, that God should show us his face. It is important for us to have that desire, because the Bible promises us that whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that receive them, and you shall have them. It's important for us, this desire for us to see the glory of God should be above every other thing that we desire in this day. The book of your Bible says, Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. David was singing. He said, "Oh Lord, my God." He said that my soul thirsts for thee. Let's read together. Psalm 63 verses 1 and 2. Say after me. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Verse 2. To do what? To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the what? Sanctuary. You see, David had this habit of going to the sanctuary when he would go and worship God. You know, he put the ark in his tent at the back of at his backyard. So this thing we are talking about, we should have a desire. It's not something that has been preached and we go, okay, it's never happened, we've never seen it before. We should have a hunger and be jealous for the glory of God. So what are we saying? It's important for us because God himself wants us in this year 2015 to see and also to carry his glory. And he wants us to carry that glory in his fullness, not just in a partial measure, as I have seen in Pentecost. He wants us to carry that glory in his fullness through the dispensation of grace. That we might use that dispensation of grace, first of all, to experience mighty works in our lives and also to demonstrate mighty works. It's important. That is the assignment that God has given us for this year. And we must finish that assignment before the year runs out. I'll repeat what I've just said. I said that God wants us in this year 2015 to see and also to carry his glory. He wants us to be carriers of his glory. So that in this year 2015, as God dispenses grace to us, we'll take that grace and we'll use that grace to manifest the mighty works of God, firstly in our own lives and then in the lives of other people. Especially the Bible simple of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. Said to the intent that now, to principalities and powers, might be made known by the church, the manifold, I would say, mighty works of God. Let's read together. Let's say, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church, the what? The manifold wisdom of God. Or let me say, the mighty works of God. These are the days of God's power. And the Bible says that in the day of his power, his people shall be what? They shall be willing. So it is very, very important for us. And also we need to know that God himself desires that we see that glory. It's not a desire that is outside the will of God. Ever since Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, God has always wanted, has always desired to restore that glory back to man. You know, the psalmist was saying, "Oh Lord, my God, how excellent are them." No, he said, "What is man that I am mindful of him, or the son of man that I have beset him?" He said, "That has made him a little lower than the angels." You know, and the Bible says Romans, there's a place in that psalm that talks about the glory of God. He said, thank you very much. He said, "That has crowned him with glory and honor." Romans says that all men have fallen, have come short of the glory of God. So ever since Adam fell, God himself has always been longing to restore that glory back to man. So it's not a desire that is outside the will of God. But say, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." So God wants to restore. So it's a desire that we to have in this day. Praise the Lord. If you open our Bible, book of John chapter 11 verse 40. Trying to just set the foundation. When Jesus Christ went to raise Lazarus, he said something. He said, "Jesus Christ said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see what? The glory of God." All it takes for us to see the glory is to believe. Bible says that all things are possible to him that believeth. So we need to believe that we will see that glory in the land of what? The living. So I will take the main text for this message from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 18 and 20. Exodus 33, verses 18 to 20. I will read. Talking about Moses when he went to the mountain, and you know, when Israel sinned and he took the tabernacle out of the camp, you know, and he was talking to God, asking God for grace. So he said, and he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." This is where I got the message from. Next verse. And he said, "I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Next verse. And he said, "Thou cannot see my face." Let's say it together. And he said, "Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Moses asked God for something. He said, "God, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your glory." He longed for that glory. He must have read, because not even read, because God dictated the Pentateuch to him, you know, the first five books of Moses. So he must have seen by revelation that glory that Adam lost. So when he saw it, he said, "Ah, guy, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory." Now, let us put the definition behind it. What is the glory of God? We can put this down. The glory of God is a tangible manifestation of the power of God that men can sense, feel, and see. I repeat. The glory of God is a tangible manifestation of the power of God that men can sense, feel, and see. You see, if you see cables running, you know, that are inside the ceiling, there's power going through that cable. But you see, when it's not made manifest, and you see these lights come on, it's not something you can feel. If you draw near to it, you can feel the heat. So that's just a simple definition of the glory of God. This is what the Israelites saw for over 40 years in the wilderness. They saw the glory cloud like a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And they were under that cloud. You know, but in spite of the fact that they saw that cloud, we know what happened. The Bible said they perished in the wilderness. Why? Because they did not please God. But another example I like to mention again is Stephen in the New Testament. Let's read our Bible's book, Acts chapter 6, verse 15, talking about Stephen. So we will not say that, okay, Pastor Dwayne, that's the Old Testament, it can't happen again, that's gone. It happened in the New Testament. Jesus Christ carried the glory. Stephen was not an apostle. He manifested the glory. Let's read God say, and it's Acts chapter 6, verse 15. Acts 6, verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, that's talking about Stephen, saw his face as that being the face of an angel. When they looked at Stephen, after he preached that message, I think in Acts chapter 6, yes, into 7. The Bible said, he looked into his face. His face shone like that of an angel. His face was shining. people have seen angels before when they see them in their glory. Shining. So when they looked at him and he preached a message, he was just a newly appointed deacon. They saw that his face shone like that of an angel. He himself said later on in Acts chapter 7, verse 35, he said, before they stoned him, he said he looked up into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father. So what are we saying here? God wants us to see his glory. And it's important for us to have a desire to see that glory. But you see, for us to see that glory, it operates on a principle. We're not just going to see it. It operates on a very simple principle. I call it the principle of Elijah and Elisha. You see, when Elijah was going to be taken up, Elisha was following him. You know that story from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho. From Jericho, they crossed Jordan. Jordan is very, very important. It's a place of death. It would take the grace of God to cross that place. So when they crossed Jordan, he said, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And Elisha said, look, let the same, the double portion of that anointing, that glory that is on you, to be upon me. And he said something. He said, this is the principle we need to get. He said, if you can see me taking up, what will happen? You will have it. But if you don't see me, you will not get it. Let's read. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Are we there? And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of the spirit of thy spirit be upon me. This is what the guy asked for. He said, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Next verse. And he said, thou hast asked the hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, let's take that. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. What are we saying? We need to see before we can get this glory. When I say see, I'm not talking about physical seeing with our natural eyes, but seeing it by the eyes of the Spirit. Just like if you are reading your Bible, and you read in the Bible one day that by his stripes I'm healed, and you see it, instantly, say, Father, I thank you, I'm healed. Because why? You have seen it. But if you have not seen it, you say, oh, this is my headache. Why? Because of it. God told Jeremiah, he said, what seest thou? God is asking us, what are we seeing? You see, once you see it, you have it. If you cannot see it, you cannot have it. It's very important. That's the principle by which you're going to get this thing. Once you see it, you've got it. But if you don't see it, you will not have it. Praise the Lord. So it's important for us to see that glory. And if you go back to Exodus chapter 33, we read Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. I said, Moses said, Lord, if I found grace in your sight, he said, show me your glory. But you see, something very, very important happens. What happened? God now interchanges the word glory for face. Let's go there. Let's read together. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Let me ask you, is God making a mistake? Like if you go to a restaurant and you ask for so, so, and so, and so, and they bring something else. No, God can't be kind of mistake. God is not the man as you like. Moses asked the same person, said, God, show me your glory. And God told him, you can't see my face. He said, show me your glory. God is saying, you can't see my face. What does that mean? What that means is that God's glory is in the face of God. Praise the Lord. Let's say together, God's glory is in the face of God. Or we can say, God's glory is in the face of what? Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It makes it very clear to us. And we'll read. So anytime we think about seeing God's face, we are talking about seeing his glory. Seeing his glory through his character. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. As we behold him, Bible says, with open faces, we are changed from one glory unto the other. So what are we saying here? But you know what happened? If you read that story, we'll go back there now. Just put it on Exodus 33, verse 27. When God said that, he told Moses something. He said, to always ask for grace. Say, God, grace to see your glory. And God said, he can't see it. But God did something. Instead of showing him his glory, he showed him his backside. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Next verse. And he said, I will do what? Make all my goodness to pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Next verse. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We'll come back to that. Next verse. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon what? A rock. Next verse. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock. I will cover thee with what? My hand, while I pass by. Next verse. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see what? My back parts, but my face shall not be seen. What is God telling us here? Number one, we need to, Moses did not see the face of God from this story. Is that clear? Why? Or let me put it this way. This glory Moses saw is a type of Pentecost. What we have experienced in the church thus far is Pentecost, the backside of God. Even in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talk about the glory that excelled. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talk about the glory that excelled. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter chapter 3. Yes. He said, talks about the glory. I wrote it there. I said, the glory of the face, which is the image, speaks of the glory of the latter house, tabernacles. But the glory of those, the glory that Moses saw here, is the glory of Pentecost. The glory of the backside of God. He did not see the face. Why? Because God has reserved that for those that are going to conform to the image. Because the glory of God's face is the glory of the image. Romans chapter 8, I believe, talks about it. It says that those that are being conformed, Romans 8:29, say, from whom he did foreknow, them also predestinated to do what? To be conformed to the image of his son. It's when we get conformed to that image that we see this glory we are talking about. But thus far in the church, what we have experienced and enjoyed is the glory of what? Is the glory of Pentecost. So like you see, Moses did not see the glory of God in terms of the glory of his face, but saw the glory of his backside. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, like I said, chapter 3, verses 10 and 18. He said, there is a glory that excelleth. See, what we have seen thus far in the church is nothing compared to what God is about to show us. If you read about the early apostles, or let's even talk about contemporary times. The other day, I was reading about John G. Lake, the miracles that he did in his ministry when I was in South Africa. There was a day, a guy was ministering to people. And there were a lot of people that were coming. He had this peculiar anointing. He was praying for the sick. He got to a stage, he was so tired. He couldn't continue. Then he said, there was a tree stump on the ground. They said, God, I'm very tired. I'm paraphrasing. They said, God, transfer this anointing on me on this tree, on this tree stump. So that anybody that comes to that tree stump and touches that, it will be healed. So we rode a horse and we left and went to another place. About a week or two later, somebody went over and told him, he said, the people that are beside that tree stump have doubled. Why? Because every time they came there, they got healed. You are talking about the glory of the former house. You are talking about the glory of the former house. This is a man, John G. Lake, that he was in South Africa ministering. And God took him from South Africa to go and minister to somebody who were praying for a particular person. And they were asking God. And God took him by Philistines of transportation straight to that place, minister to that person, and then God took him back across the Atlantic Ocean. We are talking about the glory of the former house. Everything you see that was done in the book of Acts is glory of what? Of the former house. And it's nothing compared to the glory of the latter house that we're talking about. That was, I'm trying to create a hunger in our hearts. It's written, it's documented that Wigglesworth raised up 21 people from the dead. With what? The Pentecostal anointing. That is faithful. Let's read that scripture I mentioned before I continue. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit, help me. See, let's read together. For even that which was made glorious, if you know, it was talking in the context of Moses when he came down and covered his face with the glory of the backside. So he said, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of what? The glory that excelled. The glory that we're talking about is a glory that excels, far excels what we have up to now in the church. Verse 11. Why? Because that glory is God has been done away with. It says, for that which is done away was glorious. Much more, that which remained is glorious. You see, right now, the wine of Pentecost has finished. We are in a marriage feast. That wine has finished. And Jesus Christ is there with the disciples and is about to turn that water into wine. The Bible says that this is the beginning of miracles. And the disciples believed on him. And he manifested for this glory. We are talking about the glory of a latter house there, tabernacles. It's nothing that you can, there's nothing you can compare it with. What you've seen in the book of Acts, what you hear people do, have done, you know, in times past, I can give you example over example, you know, great men of God that have performed serious miracles, even up to contemporary times like Kenneth Hagin, the miracles they've done, people that would throw people out of wheelchairs, I think it's Alexander Dowie or so, they brought a woman that had this big tumor, very big on her face. Doctors were there. Before everybody, the man just pulled, he didn't really pray, he just pulled it off, and the thing fell on the ground, bah, and the fresh skin appeared. Before everybody. And we are talking about what? That is the glory of the former house. Praise the Lord. So, like I said earlier on, God wants us to have that glory. And he wants us to carry that glory. But we have a very big problem. What is that problem? Eh? How many of us, let me ask a simple question before I tell us the problem. How many of us want to see the glory of God? Let's raise up our hands. We all want FRO go. That's what it means. You may laugh about it, even though in Nigeria we use a negative sense, but we see FRO go. We want to see God's glory. And God has said something. Before we can see this glory, we have to die. You see, the glory, you see, Moses saw the glory, but he did not die. That's why, because he did not die, somewhere along the line, anger tripped him. And it affected him. You see, that's why God told him, said, Moses, you can't see my face, because you are not dead yet. So you cannot, you can't see this, my face, except and live. You must have died. So he knew Moses had not fully dealt with his flesh. So he showed him the back. But that's the problem we have in Pentecost. We still have leaven. We've seen great men of God perform great miracles, and at the end of the day, something happens. You see, Bible says these things are written for admonition unto whom the ends of the world are come. I've taken some time to prepare myself. I go to YouTube. You know, I check some of these on YouTube. I see how they live, so you can learn not to criticize anybody. Like Bible will talk about David's mistake. It wasn't saying so you can criticize David. No, so you can learn. So don't make that same mistake. Abraham's mistakes. Somebody like Catherine Kuhlman died in the hospital. Somebody had great power. Somebody even, God forgive him. I'm not criticizing him, but I'm just saying we can learn. John G. Lake, when he was in South Africa, his wife died of malnutrition and exhaustion. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. That was why he ended the ministry in South Africa. I now went to where? Spokane. And started the healing rooms. But Lydon in his God's General, he said that his children never forgave him because they believed he killed their mom. And this man was so anointed. I've gone through a lot of these people, even in Nigeria. I've said to myself, God, does it mean I can stumble? You see, we need to sit ourselves down and talk to ourselves and call ourselves to order and recognize that perfection is not an option. As long as you have a sin nature in your flesh and in your soul, and don't get rid of it, somewhere down the line, it's going to manifest his head. There's a king in the Bible who was about to die. I can't remember. I'll just mention it in the past. It comes to me now. The guy was about to die, and he sent his ADC. He said, you go to and see one guy, I think it's Ekron or so, to ask whether he will live. So as he was going, he met the prophet. I can't remember if it's Elisha or Elijah. And he said, where are you going to? Say that there is no God in Israel that you are now. And I said, okay. He said, my master wants what I said. Go and tell him he's going to die. Eh? Then after I said that, was it Elijah or Elisha? I can't remember. Elijah. So Elijah started crying.
So the guy said, Oga, why are you crying? Elisha. He said, why are you crying? Elisha said, I can see what you do to the children of Israel. By the time we are going to become king. The guy said, am I a dog? He said, Elisha said, you are going to rip up the pregnant woman, bring out the beast, kill them. He said, am I a dog for me to do that? Believe me, he did it though. He did it though. But the heart of man is desperately wicked above what? All things. So when you talk, when a pastor comes here and they are talking about perfection, the life of God, you don't have an excuse. When you recognize that, if not for the mercy of God, you can't. Brother, don't try to stay away from church for 1 week, 2 weeks, or don't pray. That thing will rise up in you and start moving you to do things you don't plan to do. You'll be wondering and say, Brother, if you don't check out the sin nature, that nature will check you out of this world prematurely. It's a fact. So what are we saying? Perfection is not an option. It is a must. Until we do that, we can't see God's glory. That's why Moses said, God said, no man can see my glory and live. What do you mean by that? That means for you to see that glory, you must die. You must have died towards your flesh. What do you mean by that? We're not talking about dying physically. Don't misunderstand me. Hear with the ears of the spirit. We're not talking about dying physically. We're talking about dying to the flesh. That's what Paul said in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Galatians 2 verse 20. And we read together. Let's read together. I am. Put your name there. Even though it has not yet happened. I dare you obey. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I am crucified with what? Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What are we saying? This is death to the flesh. That's what we're talking about. You need to kill that flesh. Kill it! Every day when you wake up, pray and kill that flesh. Jesus Christ said, the flesh profited nothing. There is sin in that flesh. Deal with it. Don't play with it. To play with your flesh every morning is to play with sin. Go and ask from David. If they had told David years ago, before he fell into sin with Bathsheba, that you, this little shepherd boy, you are going to fall into sin, I'm going to kill him. He said, I can never, it's not possible. Brother, he did it. Someone said, that is the Old Testament. Come to the New Testament. I give you two examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian. Having an affair with his father's wife. Why? Because he did not deal with the flesh. And Paul said something. He said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. At times God has to do that. Destroy that flesh because you have refused to destroy it. You can say, okay, that was a very young boy. You know, maybe he's not known. What about Peter? An apostle. Jesus Christ said, the flesh lost against the spirit against the flesh. He said, watch and pray always. He said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And all apostle refused to pray. What happened to him? He denied his master cursing. He said, I'm coming to a place right now where I begin to say, Lord, don't let me criticize anybody. Because when you get in that situation, you are not sure whether you even make it. So keep your big mouth shut and do what the Bible says. It says, well, if any man sees brother sin, sin on the earth, ask for life. Because what is the problem? There's a deficit of life, and there's what? The sin nature is in control. So when you begin to recognize that, you begin to tread softly. So when you're somebody, this is so and so, this is one ministry, this one divorced his wife, you will fall on your face and say, God, so you can have mercy also. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So you now open your mouth and begin to criticize and begin to condemn and be say, oh, how can they do this? Oh, so. Even what God tells you to do it or to say something, you will say with God, you will not be like Jonah and declare a prophetic word and wait for it to come to pass. But if you move with compassion, for you won't say you have prayed for the person. Ah! Because what we see in the body of Christ today is not what we ought to be seeing. The things that are happening, they are unbelievable. But she makes us as Christians to fall on our face and say, God, please have mercy on us all. Why? Because you too still have that sin nature in your flesh. And you have this privilege to be under a very good covering. If you are to move out of that covering, in fact, that those sufferings, if you are to take it away, my dear brother, God will not allow us to move out in the name of Jesus Christ. So what are we saying? This glory, you must be ready to die for it. Now the question I want to ask is this. Is it glory worth dying for? We need to ask it to. Show what then? But say, count the cost. Thank you very much, sir. Sit down and ask yourself, is this glory we are talking about? We want the glory. Me too, I dream of the day that I'll be able to walk into a place and people will fall down. There's nothing wrong in it. That people will say, they're going to steal my handkerchief. You're laughing. Yes, it's not wrong to have that desire. It's not wrong to have that desire. God wants us to have that desire. That's why I put them in scripture. But you see what I was saying? Is it worth dying for? We must answer that question. Because if we don't answer that question, they will not be able to pay the price to die for it. You see, if you don't know that glory, if you have not seen it by revelation, you go up and say, mommy, and saying, okay, I read the Bible that Adam will cover the glory of God. You have not seen it before. So if an option comes, either to come to church or to go and play, where glory and good days, I want things like night, they can't do it. You go and play. That's where thanks. Why is the problem service coming? That's why you see us in church do what we do. I've had to call myself to order early this year. Pay God. Kill on share now. I gave myself a knock. Kill on share now. Don't you know where God took you from? I sat down. I did an assessment of my life before I got born again. After I got born again, it's another story for another day. For me to be here preaching today is a miracle. It's a miracle. I don't want to go into it. It's a miracle. The other day I was walking to school and I just started crying. I said, God, of all people, try to sit yourself down and say, is it worth dying for? And it's very simple. If you don't come to church, if you don't come for Tuesday prayer meeting, if you don't do the things you have told to do, that means you have considered, say, what? So when you make choices that are not in line with the will of God, you despise those things like Esau, then what you have said to God is not worth dying for. Esau. Let me talk about Esau. Just comes to my heart, and I will mention it. Esau did what? He despised his birthright, the double portion. There's an Esau ministry in the land. They have despised their birthright. And the time has come for them. They are going to weep before everybody when that glory manifests. But the Esau wept, but there was no place found for repentance. There's a place you get to in God that you cannot turn back again. Says like Moses. No, Moses, you are not going to this promised land again. Period. Don't beg me. Don't do anything. In the book of Revelation, says there's a principle of Revelation. Says that the glory filled the temple and nobody could enter. No intercessor. Nobody. Forget. Otutan. May God not close the chapter of our lives. There's an Esau ministry in the land. What do you mean by that? An Esau ministry is a ministry that has despised his birthright and sold it for a piece of what? Pottage. Like we were reading when I was praying yesterday in the book of Psalms 83, verse 6. That ministry of Esau is a Saul ministry. Let's go to the book of Psalms 83. I just thought it going. Verse 6. No, David was praying this psalm. was saying, Lord, hold not your peace. You see, the Nigerian church has come to a place whereby we have to make a choice between Saul and David. We have come to a place in the Nigerian church right now, as we approach these elections, where we have to make a choice between David and Saul. We have to make a choice between Barabbas and Jesus. Look what this guy has done. He said, the tabernacles of Edom, let's look at the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of the Moab and the Agarines, they come together. Understand what we are saying. They've come together. Esau is the same, his brother to Jacob. But I say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So I will lay his mountains waste in Jakal, something like that, called Malachi. They come to agreement with Ishmael. Who is Ishmael? Abraham's son of a bond woman. So when you see a situation in a nation where Esau and Ishmael come together, then there's a problem. Then there's a problem. Don't be fooled, guys. The church of Nigeria needs to wake up. Like when Samuel came, Samuel stood before the people. They said, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. I said, listen to me. Let me put it another way. Wait for David. He said, no, you want the king like other nations. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Samuel, okay, Enesu, let me tell you what the Lord, God is saying. You want to, I think it's in 4 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11. He said, let me tell you the manner of your king. He said, you want to tell him. The church needs to wake up. Because if you don't wake up and you put Saul on the throne, are we there? Please open to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11. Just come, let me just rush through and then get back to my message for today. Please hurry up. Let's read together. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before him and his chariots. Next verse. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. You see, if you read all the way down, he told you that this king you are asking for is going to put you into bondage. That's why the Bible says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Wake up. Wake up. Don't be fooled. You have a choice to make between Barabbas and Jesus. You have better choose Jesus. And don't choose Barabbas. David has his faults. He's made mistakes in times past. But he's one that God picked. He's the anointed of the Lord. You better support and stand with him in prayer, like Daniel said. He said, I stood to strengthen, I think it was Darius or so. Or else, if you end up with Saul. You see, Saul is not just a spirit. You see, when you see Saul make confederate with Ishmael, like that, there's a big problem. There's a big problem. If you read that psalm, it says that, Lord, don't we ourselves must not keep quiet. It's time to fast and to pray. Like Daniel fasted for 21 days, and an angel came and said, from the very first that you sought my face, God sent an answer. He said, now that I depart, the prince of Persia will go, and the prince of Grecia will come. Well, if you had not prayed, it would not happen. Woe to God that people will hear what God is saying in the church. And Christians will not be walking around in ignorance. When a Kairos moment, if not four blood wounds, things are about to happen that God has set in place. The enemy is working in circumstances in the nation to try and push the wrong person there. God forbid. God forbid. Herod is still trying to kill that man child. He still doing everything. So once he can't do it outside, he will join. Let me join them. Once I join them, then I'm part of them. But he has failed in Jesus' name. Back to my message for today. So, what are we saying? Is it worth dying for? Yes, it is. Why? Point number one. You can put it down. Why is it worth dying for? It is the purpose of God for us and so our destiny. If you don't inherit that glory, you have missed your destiny in this third day. Amen. 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 Believe me. That is God's destiny for you and I. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 7. Put it in the Amplified Bible. 43 verse 7 so we can see what we're talking about. Point number one. Why do we need to inherit that glory? It's our destiny, it's our purpose. Are we there? Let's read together. Everyone who is called by my name, that is my character. Let's read together. Whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. Next verse, please. Where it says, I've created them for my glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Back up, where it says that I've created them for my glory. It's that same area. It says, I've created them for my glory. Isaiah 43, somewhere there. It says, I've created them and I've formed them for my glory. Verse 7. Please let me find it. Okay, sorry. I didn't say, even everyone that is called by my name, for I created him for my word, my glory, and I formed him. God is saying that the reason why I have created you, obviously I have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, is for his glory. That's the purpose. He wants to pour that glory in you. That's the reason though. When I pour that glory in you, then you can now fulfill your destiny in his fullness. So that's point number one. God wants us to have that glory because it's our destiny. It's not okay for some people. Okay, it will never happen. If it has not happened, you need to go into fasting and praying and mourning. What that means is that you should feel bad on here. At any bar, we not allow the devil to cheat us out of what has promised us. Praise the Lord. The second point is this: we need the glory of God, like Pastor has been teaching us, to do the mighty works of God. You see, if you don't have that glory, there's no way you can do those mighty works. Look at what Peter did in Acts of Apostles. The first message he preached, 3,000 people got born again. He showed you last one now. Why did he do it before Pentecost? He preached another message later on. 5,000 people swept into the kingdom. Glory up before my house. So can you imagine what will happen when that glory comes? The glory of his face, the glory of his image. When you preach, you might not even have to preach like Pastor has been teaching us. You just walk with God has shown us samples of people like Charles Finney. It would just be walking in the mill. And people will be crying. Ah, please, I think I need God. I need this. That's the glory of what? Of a former house. So we need that glory so we can do what? Mighty works that Pastor has been preaching to us about. And that's the word that's come to us this year. That this is a year in which God wants us to, first of all, experience mighty works and also to do what? To do mighty works. We need to be jealous for this thing. We don't allow it to just pass by and then September we are still just coasting along. No. We need to fight for it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Praise the Lord. Then this third point I have in my notes is, because of the pastor I mentioned, I must recap, he said, to cause the name of Jesus to be magnified and held in high honor. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 20. Talks about Paul. And he took handkerchiefs and apron from him. You know, to go and put on the sick people. And the anointing on that thing did not disappear. That's what this guy did. I mentioned to John G. Lake. He transferred the anointing on a tree stump. And he went in for about a week or two. And when the person went back to go and meet over, they said the number of people there are doubled. That they were coming every day and were getting healed. So people started coming and he wasn't there. Don't say it's not possible. That's what Elijah did. Or was it Elisha when he gave his rod to Gehazi? Things are going to happen that you are going to wonder. Things that have never happened before. We have never gone this way before. When Jesus Christ did something in the Bible, when he made spittle and put it in somebody's eyes. There's no scriptural basis for it. We should expect the unexpected. Things that are going to happen that go to beyond. You'll not be able to. All yours now. This is God. This has to be God. Where you'll not be able to say, Mario Elirike. Brand new thing. Say, behold, I do a new thing. They will spring forth. Shall you not know it? New things are about to spring forth when the glory manifests. As Pastor has been giving us snippets, you know, about the mind of Christ, you know, about all this, about the photographic memory. You know, has been telling us. Now, when we hear those things, huh?
ṣé o lè ẹ́fà ṣẹlẹ̀ ṣá? Me, I'm just trying to calculate 12 times 12. I'm talking about just reading all these things that are. Praise the Lord. And faith is arise in our hands. So Acts chapter 19, verse 11, 20 says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Next verse. So that from his body we have brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Next verse. And certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. Next verse. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and the chief of a priest, which did so. What's a mistake? They were not under Paul's covering. So let me just try this thing. Next verse. And evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Next verse. And the man in whom the spirit was lifted upon them, you know, overcame them, you know, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, where I want to get to is, he said that they brought all those that did curious arts, all those that do all this, use this so-called 6 and 7 books of Moses. they brought them out, and they burned the thing. All these so-called Guru Maharaji, wait for the Bible to come. All those things that they are doing, there are a lot in this nation. They will bring them out. It's a fact. You're looking at me like I'm joking. If they will bring them out, we must demonstrate that glory. Oh, there's no point. What are we? Folks, I've written this thing recently. I said, what am I even living for? I looked at my age. I looked at everything. I said, God, God forgive me. Is it a party I want to start going to? Which party do I want to go to? Eh? What do I want to do now? I don't have time to waste again. Folks, I say it in a positive sense, we are the dying means of this game. We have to die to our flesh. We are the dying means. So we don't have time. We need to aim, you know, and fire at the goal and score and win this match, and then let's go home. There's no time to waste, though. To go and do what? To go and do. But see, when I see this joint, they will come, they will tell them, they will say, shocky. And I'm saying, God, get too late to your love. But I listen to them. I listen to them when they say, you know why I listen to them? When they say they are shocky like that, I'm talking about some of our youths. Me too, I'll just take revelation on it. I will shock it into them. Yeah, you see, if you don't, you see, those children, some of them, they don't understand. They have not tasted sin like we tasted sin. They don't even have an idea. So when they hear those, they don't understand that they are spiritual forces. So they will dance, they will do this one, they will backslide, they will do all kinds of things. They don't understand. But you that you have known those things, it's still at the back of your mind. I'm trying to wipe them out, it's still there. Go to a barber shop, let them play shocky. Your leg will be going like this. I have to say, bros, more past by waking in. Are you getting me? Yes. But it's still there. So I can't go and add more to my shocky. So when they bring that shocky, me too, I've done shock revelation already inside them. Let me, this message I'm sharing with you by the grace of God, the spin off apart from what Pastor shared that mommy, that watching service, in your Lord, I just ran to me. Say, Pastor, say, Uncle D, Pastor D. Say, come and sit down. Revelation already just been downloaded to me. When I see our youths come, it makes me happy. Because I see a generation that is ready to carry this thing. So you see, but for you to shocky and drop revelation, you must listen to them. So when they talk about their shocky, I will listen. Because I say, it's true, we talk about that level. I'll shock warning. It's why I swear in the word. And it's an indestructible seed. So she came to me like that and said, I come as a solution. She said, do you know what happens to those people that died, you know, that saw God's face? And she mentioned Jacob, you know, and people like that. I said, wow, I was so happy. I was excited. Same day, other day, Tolu Anemi came to me and said, Uncle, Pastor D, come and see. So God just downloaded revelation knowledge to me how covering works. I can receive revelation knowledge. That is like Pastor has the Wi-Fi here. It's like Pastor's Wi-Fi. He said, if you move away from it, you'll not be able to pick signals again. So if you move now, I said, wow. You see, I'm happy that I can see the thing manifesting in the generation ahead. But Pastor, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and for wonders. So when they share those things, it makes me happy. That yeah, there's a generation that understands. Even if they don't fully understand.
But they will come to that. But little by little, you'll be dropping those things. That's how you drop it though. Just say, don't. Is it, if you say, don't dance shoki shoki, they will just run away from you. And they will do everything they want to do. God forgive me. Let's leave that and let's move on. So what are we saying? You see, you need to learn by the wisdom of God to sow the word into the hearts of men. Especially the younger generation. Because the temptation that they are facing, bros, it is far more than what we face. Even though we did a lot. But you can't compare it. What's happening? They can be on that thing for 3 hours. Believe me, there was a day I tried it. I was talking to my friend, you know, we're in school together. Let me just take a second. And I just kept at it. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Ah. God said, he will tell me, is there any way to write a book about a pastor? And I was sad. And I said, God, you be 3 hours on this nonsense. Facebook. Why? Because you have not learned to kill the flesh. So if you don't pray properly, those things will take your time. There will be a distraction, even though God can use it. It can be a means of evangelism. But if you don't take time to pray and crucify your flesh, what will happen? The enemy will use that same tool against you, against your purpose, against your destiny. The pastor was sharing with us the other day about fasting and praying. Say, so you exert all your labors. In the day that you say you are going to fast, that is the day you are going to watch TV till midnight. That is a man who is going to play with Arsenal. And then you are going to sit down. And then you are going to watch that match. And then you know the funny thing is, Bible says you will not speak your own words. Then when they start playing, you will curse, you see all those funny stuff. Ah, can you go? You die. You know, I don't want to say it. You think you are still fasting? Praise the Lord. So, what have I said? I said that that's point number four. That men might be attracted to come to him. Just like I said, when I be lifted up, I will do what? Draw all men unto me. When we exalt him, like Pastor was saying, people talk about Jesus Christ like they say he's a prophet. Insult upon injury. It's God. You suppose of all can't even say it. Jesus Christ, if you are standing in front of people, if you are not bold enough, you can't say Jesus Christ is my Lord. You will keep quiet. Like the millions of people in Babylon. When it was time for them to stand for righteousness, they bowed. They said, it's a very furnace. Wisdom. There's no temple here. God understands. And they bowed. And nothing is written of them in scripture. Wherever they are today, either in heaven or hell, they can't move near where Daniel is. That's why I said what I said. I said, are you willing to die for the glory? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. That is the kind of boldness that God wants to give his church. You need to know the Lord your God and do exploits and be strong. Where you can be standing, people are about to shoot you and say, yes, no, I'm going to stand for righteousness. Even it will cost you everything. What is your life anyway? We're going to die one way or the other. But see, old man, so if you don't get into the place of prayer and put your flesh under, you will do exactly what Apostle Peter did. You will deny him and you will run. But God doesn't want us to do that. That's why he's bringing us into a place of a full dispensation of his grace. We will see now what we use that grace for. Praise the Lord. Now the fifth point, why we need the glory, is so that we can disciple nations. We know that scripture was Zechariah chapter 8. He said that after glory, we send me to the nations. We need the glory of God to go to the nations. He says, after we have gone to the nations, and we have demonstrated those mighty works, then judgment will come on them, not before. Just like I said something, say, what, you Chorazin? Say, the mighty works that have been done in the Son of God, they will have repented a long time ago. So by the time we take that power to the nations, and we demonstrate the mighty works of God to them, if they don't repent, I think it's in Matthew chapter, I can just put it there, 11 verses 21 and 23. He said, who aren't you, Chorazin? Who aren't you, Capernaum, Bethsaida? He said, the mighty works that have been done in you have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah. They will have repented long ago. He said, you, Capernaum, that trust you, which have been trusted down to hell. So we take that glory to the nations and we manifest that power, and they refuse to repent, and the next thing, judgment comes upon them. I break the nations and rule them with the rod of iron. So in summary, what have I said? When we crucify our flesh to the dispensation of the fullness of God's grace, then and only then can we do the mighty works. You see, when mommy brought that word and said it's a season of a year of dispensation of the fullness of grace. And Pastor now said, Pastor also said that it's here which you do mighty works. You need to connect both of them. They are not separate. You need the dispensation of the fullness of grace to do the mighty works. Now, what do you mean by that dispensation of fullness of grace? The Bible says in the book of 1 John, it says, of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Why is God giving us grace in this day? Grace is given for us to labor, not to be lazy. Grace says God, grace is given to us in his fullness to labor and not to be lazy. So God wants to pour out his grace so we can labor. Paul said something in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10. He said, I labored more than they. He told us a secret. He said, I labored more than they all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10. There's together. Say, I labored more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Let's sit together. But by the grace of God, and what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But what? I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. But how did he do it? By the grace of God, which was with me. You see, when you hear the grace, people say, okay, grace are cover. No. God wants to give that grace. So the things you were not doing before, you can start doing them. So you are doing maybe just love prayer in the morning. The grace has come, you can move up and start praying with travel. You are praying 1 hour, move up to 2 hours. You're not reading the Bible, move up. Bible says we have come, this is the set time of Zion's favor. Favor means grace. So we need to understand why it's giving us grace. It's not giving us grace to be lazy. Or that grace will come, and all of a sudden, mighty works will come. No, that grace is given to labor. Just like I said, he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endured unto eternal life, that the Son of Man will give. Pastor shared it. I just mentioned it. So when grace is given, it's for you to labor. It's for you to labor, not to take it easy or just yo-yo. So when there's, what shall we do? Or how is this grace going to dispense to us? Are you following me? Yes, it's going to come to us in 5 ways. When I was praying, God showed me these 5 ways. 5 is God's number for grace. And we need that grace to labor in 5 areas. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood. So that we can now do the mighty work. See, that is the connection between what Pastor and what we share. Grace is being dispensed in its fullness. Are you following me? So we can do mighty work. So between grace and mighty works, there is labor. Say that time. Between grace and mighty works, there is labor. So we must not receive the grace of God in vain. Praise the Lord. So let us see. Point number 1. Grace number 1. As we continue. Grace number 1 is given unto us for efficient and frequent use of the blood to clean in order to have unlimited access to God's eternal life. Grace number 1 is given to us for frequent use and efficient use of the blood of Jesus Christ to clean in order to have unlimited access to eternal life. Recent Ebola plague that got kicked out of our nation has taught us something. Spiritually, to be spiritual hygiene, where you wash your hands. So you are not confessing your sins because you have sinned. Don't wait the time you fall into sin, adultery, or you stole, or you steal, or you shoot somebody before start confessing your sin. Do it as an act of spiritual hygiene. This is an act of spiritual hygiene. Now, if you go to the hospital now and see doctors, when something drops on the floor, if it's me, I will pick it. If it's tablet, I will not. They say, don't take it. Why? Even though you can't see any germ on it, but you know, they will touch one patient, they will go and wash their hands again. They will wear gloves, they wash them. Why? Is it because they have contacted the disease? No. So we need to practice that as what I call spiritual hygiene. Clean with the blood frequently. Don't wait for something to manifest. If you wait, by the time it manifests, it's too late. That's what happened to David. Bible says when kings ought to be in battle, David tarried still in Jerusalem until the thing manifested. Praise the Lord. So that's, if you open your Bible to Titus chapter 3, let's read scripture. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Help me, Holy Spirit. What does it say? 3:7. Let's read together. Say that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of what? Eternal life. Next verse. No, sorry, I think I missed my scripture. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Is that what it says? Let's go back there. So, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, let me just leave that one. Or, so I read the wrong scripture. Anyway, let's move on. That grace is given to us to clean. The blood of Jesus Christ is given to us to clean frequently and more efficiently so we can have unlimited access to the life of God. And second grace, grace number two, is given to us that we may receive life in more and sufficient measure. It says that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it talks about the grace of life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is grace number two. Grace number one is the blood of Jesus Christ. We used to clean frequently. Grace number two is access to eternal life. Now we know that we can go to the scriptures and receive life deliberately. Rather than waiting to come to church on Sunday during worship to receive life. Praise the Lord. We are talking about the grace of life. Grace number three is the grace for us to pray with all types of prayer we are in the spirit. That is grace number three. We are talking about the grace of God that has been dispensed in this hour. That grace is to enable us to crucify the flesh of his affections and lusts. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says it this way. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared, being a child, his son, learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. That is the measure of grace again. To pray. The Bible talks about the spirit of grace and supplication. Hebrews 10:29 talks about the spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29 says, of how more sorrow punishment suppose ye shall be taught worthy, who are turning underfoot the Son of God, and encountered the blood of the covenant when it was sanctified and a holy thing, and done despite unto what? The spirit of grace. So the Bible says, Zechariah said, God is going to pour out upon Judah and Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. So grace is being given unto us to labor in the place of prayer. Grace number four is coming to us so that we can fast and pray. I call it the favor of Esther. Esther chapter 4 verse 16. He said, call my maidens unto me and let us fast. You know this. And after he fasted for 3 days, the Bible says he went unto the king. And the king stretched forth his gold scepter. The Bible says, and he found favor or grace in his sight. So grace is given to us. The pastor we are sharing to us on Sunday. So you can fast often. Paul said, in fastings often. So you're not thinking that, okay, there's no scripture in the Bible that says we should fast once a week. You're not ready to hear that glory. This kind cannot come except by fasting and prayer, like mom was sharing on that day. We need to learn to fast and pray. You couple your fasting with prayer. Then you can see that glory we are expecting. And that favor can come. Praise the Lord. Grace number five is the final one, which Pastor Boy got shared on Sunday. Take him on Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. It is grace that is given through humility and submission to prophetic and apostolic covering to make us willing and obedient that might do the mighty works. I've mentioned five things. Grace number one is blood of Jesus Christ to clean frequently. Grace number two is one that we use to receive the life of God. I mentioned the 2 Peter chapter 1. The exceeding great Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace number three, like I mentioned to us, is the grace to enable us to do what? To pray. It takes grace to pray. I'm not talking about kujia prayer. To travel in the place of prayer. It takes grace to pray. Then grace number four is grace for us to fast and to lead a fasted life. Then grace number five is the grace that comes from apostolic covering. I'll read it to us. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. where Paul said that you might be partakers of my grace. Let's read last part. He said, "Ye are all partakers of my grace." God wants us to partake of the grace of the apostolic and the prophetic covenant of the house. It's there. See, if you have the first four and you don't have the last one, it won't work. You know how I know? I'll give an example in the Bible. You see, you can have use that grace to clean with the blood. Fine. Can you use that same grace to receive life? Fine. Can you use that same grace to pray? Fine. Can you use that same grace to fast and pray? Fine. But see, the final grace you need is in Philippians 1:7. That's what the disciples enjoyed under Jesus Christ's covering. That's what happened to Moses in the wilderness. When God called him, Moses was complacent. Said, "God, I'm tired of this work. If they want to kill me." God said, no, okay. "Call 70 of the people and let them come to the tabernacle." And he said something, understand this. He said, "I will put the spirit, take up the spirit upon you and put upon them." Number one, that means he was not on them before. Even though they were using the blood, so to speak, even though they were fasting, they were receiving life, but wasn't upon them. Let's read it. You are looking like you don't believe me. In the book of Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Talking about Moses. Are we there? Help me, Lord Jesus. Let us read together. "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest, to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they may stand there with thee." Next verse. "And I will come," let's say it out loud, "and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of what? The spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of a people with thee, and thou shalt bear it, and not thyself alone." That's how you operate. So you can use the blood, you can use till you are red all over. You can cry the blood of Jesus Christ anytime. You can receive the life and confess life to the black and blue. You decide to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. You can pray and pray and not leave the temple like Anna and Simeon. But if you don't get this last one, that spirit will not come on you. But come upon someone in Jesus. Why? Because we are going to obey and submit to the apostolic and prophetic covering of the house. That is the key to all the four other graces. That's the fifth one that rounds it off. And something funny happens. It's not localized. It's not like, okay, it's not automatic that, okay, since I'm in church, I come to church, pastor knows me, I will enjoy that grace. Not. Because there were two people that were not with Moses that day. Midad and Mildad. If you open to, let's just see. Same chapter, verses 27 and 29. What happened? 27 and 29 said, "And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Midad do prophesy in the camp." That is the exact thing that happened with Pastor Ty that came to preach. He's not here. He's not sitting here with us. He's not in the camp, so to speak, but he's in the camp. So the question is, are you in the camp or are you outside the camp? We will know if his spirit is not manifested in your life. We will know. It's very simple. You can sit here in the camp, carry Bible, pastor's Bible, run around with mommy, and do everything you're supposed to do. You may not be there. I'm not even sure at this time. I don't think Joseph was among them. I'm not sure he was among the 70. Because I said, so let's continue reading. He says that, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them." Exactly what those guys just cried. Said, "Son of Son," I said, "forbid them. They must have read this thing before." So it was scriptural. Wait, Moses did. "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them." Next verse. "And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the lost people," ever say all, without exception, "all the lost people were prophets, and our Lord will put his spirit upon them." God wants all of us to partake of the grace of fathers in house, the apostolic and prophetic psalm. So when you are talking, you know, when you are talking, you're not, you have prophetic understanding. You shouldn't leave this church and people are sharing and I don't want to mention any church. Then you sit down, you can't talk. You are timid because you don't have revelation knowledge. Shame. Oh! Without exception. Everybody. Everybody. In your office, wherever you are, you have that grace and unction that by the time you talk and you can give counsel and direction and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying go and be prophesying. Understand what I'm trying to say. But you can have an understanding. People are complaining and they are talking about who's going to be president for Nigeria. You can say, so and so. They'll come, how did you know? The spirit of Moses is upon me. So simple. That's what all can partake of that grace. Praise the Lord. And I put here, two things happen when we partake or when we see God's glory. You know, also, I said we are going to die to the flesh. Two things are going to happen. The number one thing that will happen is this. Our walk will change. We're no longer going to be walking in craftiness or hiding the word of God deceitfully. You know, let me just, everybody seems so quiet. I don't know why this message is so serious. You know, you're not going to walk in anyhow. You know, there is this so-called catwalk. Walk like this. I live with you all the time. I just smile. I don't know why, bro. I know people will laugh to that. God wants to change that walk. That catwalk will no longer walk. It's going to touch you all of your time. You're not going to be walking like this. When it touches that all of your time, you are going to change your walk. Now, I'm using that. You are laughing now, but I'm trying to use this. Paint a spiritual picture. So if you like walking like that, please walk like that. So we look at the story of Jacob. How about God did with him? Jacob used to be a trickster. He used to walk around like this. And then God said, hey, okay, I'll meet you at Peniel. So God met Jacob at Peniel. And as he wrestled with God. And let's see what happens. The book of Genesis, I believe, as we get to round up. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help. Genesis. Okay, 32 verses 30 and 31. Okay, that is what 35. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with God. Next verse. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. I don't want us to waste time. Let's get to the place where he says that, and he rose. So we don't waste time. 30, let's go to 30. 30. God changed his word. And Jacob called the name of the place what? Peniel. For what? I have seen God face to face. And my what? My life is what? Preserved. Next verse. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun did what? Rose upon him. That's the glory we are talking about. And he halted upon his thigh. But before the sun rose, perhaps the Son of Righteousness shall rise upon thee with healing in his wings. And that says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And what the glory of the Lord is seen upon us. That's the type of what happened. What happened? But see, he could no longer walk again in craftiness. He had to be limping. He was walking slowly. Why? God wants to change that walk. Not our walk of craftiness. Handling God's word deceitfully. Saying something and meaning something else. He's going to change it. Pause that glory. The second thing he's going to do is going to change our sight, the way we see things. Look at the story of Paul when he was going to Damascus. And just Christ met him. The Bible says that a blind man knocked him off his horse. And he was blind. What that means is he no longer saw naturally. You see, you're not going to be judging by natural light, like Jesus Christ said. In Isaiah, it says that they said the sun and there no more be your light. Isaiah 60, verse 19. Say it is God that will now be your light. If you put it there, it says the sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither brightness shall move by light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. So you're going to see a situation the way God sees it. You're not going to be judging with natural light. So God wants to change two things: our walk and the way we see things. Alright, Bible says something like Isaiah. He had been ministering in the natural temple for years. Isaiah 6 chapter 1. But said, did he hear that King Uzziah died? He said, I saw the Lord. I thought he was walking in the temple. He was frequently going in and out of the temple year in, year out. On the days Uzziah died. So I saw the Lord high and lifted up. How many of us have seen the Lord by revelation knowledge? Allow Uzziah to die. When Uzziah dies, then we'll see the Lord. In closing, I was prepared for this message. I believe that God gave me a prophecy. Not written by me, but by Kenneth Hagin. That's what excites me in everything. When I was prepared for this message, this man prophesied what pastor has been preaching in recent times, from towards the end of last year up to this time. I will just read certain portions of it. That the man prophesied this thing in 1979. I will read and I begin to round up before we pray. It's very, very important. This prophecy was given by Kenneth Hagin in January 22, 1979. I'll read some parts. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, prophesy thou unto these people. What about the future? Is the future dark as men will have you to believe? Or is the future bright? Yea, in the world. In the kingdom of darkness, the future is dark. But in the kingdom of God, all is brightness and all is light. And these last days, there shall be an invasion of a light into the kingdom of darkness. And yea, light shall dispel the darkness. And men's hearts shall be turned toward the Lord. Yea, they shall rise up in that great day and shall call thee blessed. Because the light shine through thee, even unto them. And they walked in the light and found peace. Yea, they walked in the light and found joy. I will skip. I will read the important parts. And somebody said, there shall arise an army of the Lord. Yea, those that are empowered by the Spirit. Those who know the word. Those who are full of the word. Those who know their rights. Those who know their privileges. And they shall go forth as an army to proclaim the word of the Lord. And to be strong and to do exploits. They shall march across the land like an army. And yea, many shall come and shall join with them. And enter into the fold of God. And become a part of the God company. I'll skip and go to the last aspect. You'll be amazed at what this man said. Exactly what pastor was preaching. I just stumbled upon it yesterday when I was praying. And he said something. He said, yea, rejoice and be glad. Even this very night. For the Lord has spoken, I will not repent. Yea, his power is ever present, and he will not relent. Yea, the glory of the Lord is upon thee, and it shall shine round about thee, and shall come into manifestation among thee. And men shall see the glory of God, and shall fall upon their face, and give honor unto him. Disease and sickness shall not stand before that glory. Yea, and the darkness and the gloom of a night of this world shall not stand before that glory. But the people of God shall rejoice and be strong, and many shall come and join themselves unto thee. And like a snowball that's running down the hill, grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, larger and larger and larger and larger, with more momentum and more momentum and more momentum. And men shall wonder and say, can these things be so? And it shall be so that on the television, men shall see people rise up off the stretcher and walk. And they shall say, they have planned it. There wasn't anything wrong with them. But doctors and medical scientists shall testify that this is a miracle. That God has come and given life where there was death. Yea, there shall be seen many acts, there shall be seen mighty acts of God. And it shall be manifested in these last days and seen in a greater way than it was in the days of the beginning of the church. Where as many as the shadow of Peter fell upon out of the streets were healed. Yea, it shall be picked up by the television and sent across the land, and people will fall under the power in their homes, and the blind shall write in and say, now I can see, both spiritually and physically. And the sick shall write in and fall in and say, I was bedfast, and I've been bedfast 9 months, a year and a half, 3 years and one, even five. And some who sat there will bear witness to the fact that it shall surely come. And their hearts shall be made glad, for the Lord will start a revival in the town. And the blessing of the Lord shall spread, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the hearts of men shall be made to rejoice. Hey, it shall come. Yea, there are many more to be won. So go about the master's business. Do that which you know is right. Do that which he has revealed unto you in this night. That was then when I was speaking. And the hand of the Lord shall rest upon you. And the hand of the Lord shall be upon thee for good. And I shall have cause for rejoicing. And I shall be made a blessing unto many. This man prophesied this thing in 1979. About the mighty acts of God. When I was preparing yesterday, God just allowed me to stumble on this. But I just went to the website. I said, let me just check. And I just see this thing. So I know we are smack in the middle of the will of God. So would you take heed to the things we hear? This man said this in 1970, about 36 years ago. I'm not sure Pastor must have heard this before, but Pastor didn't preach because he read this prophecy. He just came, he spoke to us about Peter's shadow healing in recent times, spoke to us about Abraham's being taken from Paul, you know, miracles and signs, even talked about manifestation of the glory of God on TV. And this man spoke this in 1979. Pastor comes and says this thing without, as if he read it. But God brought it up again by revelation. Why? For us. Why? Because he wants us to what? To partake of that glory. So brethren, what shall we say to these things? What is scripture saying to us in this year 2015 as I close? Let's go to our Bible, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. And we'll read together. Let's read together. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. This year is a year of dispensation of the fullness of the grace of God. That grace is given to us to labor. When we labor, we'll do the mighty works of God. Let us pray. Let's talk to the Lord in our hearts. Don't let us say in our hearts that we've heard these things before. When is glory going to come? It's going to come suddenly. But may it not come to us as a thief in the night. The prophets have spoken to us in this house. They have declared the accurate word of God to us about what God is doing. I said at the beginning of this message that our assignment for 2015 is to make sure that we see God's face. That we see that fullness of grace. It's not to be lazy, but to labor to do that mighty works of God. It shall surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sweat, he will reap. It's time for us to sow in righteousness and to reap in mercy. Bible says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until, not before. We are not going to stop in January. We're not going to stop in February. We're going to continue until he rains righteousness upon us. Let's talk to God. Let's ask for mercy. Let's ask for grace. Let's see those five graces I mentioned: the blood, the word, the spirit, the place of prayer, grace to fast, and most importantly, to tap in recovering of fathers in the house. That is very important. So can manifest that glory. Let's stand to our feet as we pray and sing this song. Sovereign King of all the earth, we stand as one before you, and with faith in our hearts, we know you'll touch us on you. These are the days of your power, spoken of from old. Glory.
and say, Father, we confess our sins, so we're clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me again today concerning this year 2015. Through the fathers of the house, I come by faith now to receive a fresh dispensation of your grace to help me to clean with the blood efficiently and frequently, that I get access into the unlimited life of God. I come to receive your grace to help me to partake more of your divine nature. I come to receive your grace to help me to watch and to pray always and not to faint. I come to receive your grace, even the grace of Esther, to enable me to fast even often, and also grace to tap into the anointings and the grace of the set fathers over this house in humility and also in submission, that may experience in my life your greater works, and also that I manifest your greater works in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit about this conference. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.